All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation, the 8th chapter. And we'll continue where we left off. I want to encourage you to stick around after the service for the business meeting. We'll begin about 10 minutes after the service is over, and that'll give parents time to go and retrieve their children. Masters Club folks are not going to stick around and babysit, so if you have children up there, you need to go and get them and then bring them back if you wish to attend the business meeting. And we just have three items, appointment of secretary, church secretary, and church treasurer, and the couple of deacons going off the board, and then the budget. So should not take long for us to have our business meeting. So I hope you'll stick around. All right, let's begin. We learned last Sunday night that at the beginning of chapter 8, there was the opening of the seventh seal. Now you remember there are three sets of judgments. Each one of those sets has seven judgments in it. And with the opening of the seventh seal, what you have is unveiling, I guess you'd say, of the trumpet judgments. And there are three sets, all right? There's the seal judgments, which we've already looked at in chapter 6 and chapter 7. And then the trumpet judgments, that's what we're looking at now. And then the bowl judgments, the vial judgments. And they will come later. And so in verse 1, what we saw was the seventh seal was open, and we saw that John said there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I mentioned to you the silence the other night was because they know what is about to be turned loose on the earth. The people on the earth are praying. If you look at verse three and four, they're praying. And the reason that they're praying on earth is because they know what's coming. They know they have the Bible in front of them, and they'll be able to know that what is unfolding as it unfolds. God does not hide his program. God does not hide his plan from us. So the whole idea here is that for about a half an hour, not a long time, but for about a half an hour, there was silence in heaven. And these saints on the earth were praying and asking the Lord for vengeance against their enemies. All right. Now we looked at brought up the word imprecatory, and there are several of the Psalms: Psalm 35, Psalm 59, Psalm 83, Psalm 109. And these are called imprecatory psalms. And by that, they are, it is saying that they are Psalms where David, who is a type of the Lord Jesus, was praying for judgment upon his enemies. He was praying for God to deliver him from his enemies. And that is what we're seeing here as these who are being martyred and these who are being killed for their testimony and for faith in the Lord in chapter 7, verse 9, and verse 10, and verse 11. There are all these saints that are these people that get saved during the tribulation period through the witness of the 144,000, and these folks are being martyred, these ones who get saved. And so the prayer that's taken place on the earth is the saints that are still alive praying for vengeance. It's a prayer of vengeance. So that's what goes on in the first part, first six verses of this chapter. And that's about as far as we got Wednesday night. All right, now, if you will look, please, at verse 6. It says, And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. All right, so what's going to happen now is you're going to see John describe for us as each one of these angels that have the trumpet in their hand, when they step up and in order, one through seven, as they sound the trumpet, then the wrath and the judgment of God is poured out upon the earth again. And so if you thought that the seal judgments were bad, and they were, if you thought the seal judgments were bad, it only gets worse. And as you go through the seven trumpet judgments, my, devastation everywhere, multitudes of people dying, changes like the world has never seen before. And but then that is then followed up by the bowl judgments, which are even more intense than were the trumpet judgments. So it doesn't get any better as the 7 years of the tribulation period roll on. All right, so what happened? Well, in verse 7 now, literally through chapter 9 and verse 21, you're going to see seven angels step up and sound their trumpet, and the wrath is going to fall. Now, just as it was with the seven seal judgments in chapter 6 and chapter 7, they were divided 4 and 3. All right, 4 and 3. So 7 altogether, but they were divided between 4 judgments together, and in 3 on a different level. And so the same thing is going to be applied now to the trumpet judgments, and we'll see that as we continue on. But in this 8th chapter, what we have is the first 4 of the trumpet judgments sounded. The first 4 are going to be sounded here in this 8th chapter. And it's only 13 verses long. And so let's read now, starting in verse 7, and we'll read down to verse 13, and then we will look at particulars about the trumpets sounding. Verse number 7, look at it please. It says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? Then look at verse 9. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed, probably because they were waiting to, they'll be waiting to get into a dock somewhere, don't you think? Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. So in the second one, you see the trumpet cast toward the salt water, towards the sea, towards the oceans. But then in the third one, you will see that this one is going to impact and affect the clean water, the river water, the lakes and the fountains of waters. What are the fountains of waters? Well, those are that's the water in the ground, and so you if you have a well, you have a pipe that goes down, a hose that goes down inside that, and then down to bottom of it, at the end of it, there's a pump. And when you turn the water on, that sends the water up and into your home. And you get your water from the fountains of the deep, all right? You get your water from the fountains of the deep. When I was a child, my grandfather had a well. And we got our water from that well. You went out several times a day, and you put a hook on that bucket, and you dropped that bucket down, and you got it full of water, and then you pulled the rope and pulled it up, and then you carried that into the house. And so you say, well, did you have running water? Yes, it's what you ran and got. We had running water. Yes, it's what you ran to the well and got. But that was a different era, a different time. And now today, if you live in the city, you have city water. They get it from one of these ponds around here, the one out on Leukoball Mill, and then they process it and they send it up to this big blue tank sitting back here on the hill. And then the water pressure comes from it running back down the hill and then into your house. And so all the fresh water is going to be impacted by the third angel. Look at verse 11. It says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And then the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." All right, so there's your four and three, just like the seal judgments. They seem to be separated, four and then three. And the rest of the seals will be in chapter 9, all right, which we will look at probably this time next Wednesday night. But let's pray now, and I want us to look at what is recorded in chapter 8 about these four trumpets that are sounded in the 8th chapter. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the Word of God, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, I ask you to enlighten our minds and our hearts. And Father, help us to discern clearly what you have written here and what is in store. And Father, as we think about the severity of all of this, pray that you will help us all to stop and just give you the praise and glory for our salvation, and that we do not have to go through this terrible time of crisis. And so, Father, bless now your word to our hearts, and we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at the first trumpet, and we find the first trumpet that was sounded in verse 7. Now, we have all seen in our living rooms on our television sets ravaging floodwater. We've seen time after time after time where floods have ravaged cities, and where rivers have come out of their banks and destroyed homes. And we've even seen it just right down here in Sykesville. That little stream that runs down through there has overflowed its banks on a number of occasions, and especially in the last couple of years. And the devastation is just unbelievable. What water can do is amazing. We have all witnessed the tornadoes that have gone through the South and gone through the Midwest. And we have watched on our television sets as hurricanes have made landfall, and we have watched the destruction and the devastation that comes from those events. We have watched out in the West the wildfires that are set or that are caused by lightning. And we have watched the wind hit those fires and just scorch a mountain in a matter of no time. But all those things that we have sat in our living rooms and watched over the last several years are nothing when compared with the devastation that is about to be unleashed upon this earth and upon mankind in this 8th chapter. Oh, this is going to be rough, folks. I mean, it is absolutely going to be a terrible, terrible time. And I have had folks through the years that have read this, and then they've come to me and they've showed it to me, and they've said, "Now, Pastor, is this stuff supposed to be taken literally?" And yes, it is. Why would you think that this is symbolism? This is not symbolism. God tells you exactly what is going to happen here. And when he says that in verse 7, that there was the angel sounded, and then what followed was hail and fire mingled together with blood, and then it is cast upon the earth. And when that happens, then a third part of the trees are going to be burnt up, and the green grass is going to be burnt up. Folks, remember, the earth, it has for 3.5 years, just like under Ahab and Elijah, the earth is in famine. It's in drought. The earth is already a tinderbox, all right, for 3.5 years by the opening of one of the seals. And now here along comes this trumpet, and so this devastation falls out of the skies. And yes, I believe with all my heart that this is to be taken literally. The earth is already parched from the drought that when this happens, it's just going to be like setting fire to a bale of dried hay. It's just going to go up. So remember, God had done something similar to this in Egypt under Moses. All right, were those literal plagues? Yes. Yes, they were literal plagues. And these are going to be literal plagues that will be sent in the form of these trumpet judgments. So the first one is devastating to the land and to the trees and to the grass, and it's going to have a terrible impact upon society. Now, all we hear today is man-made global warming. And that's just a deception so that they can control us, and they can control what we drive, and they can control how they tax us. It's all about money. You just follow the money. Rush Limbaugh always said, follow the money. Well, how true that is. And that's how these politicians and that's how these bureaucrats live is chasing the almighty dollar. And so when when this all hits, they're saying, oh, global warming, climate change, and they keep changing the terms and changing the language all the time, but they make it sound like it's our fault. It's our fault. Folks, you know how big this earth is? Do you know how big that the earth is? And you know, God did something amazing, didn't he? When God created the heaven and the earth, he put this canopy over the earth. And for 2,000 years, man lived under that canopy. He was protected from the rays of the sun. He lived 1,000 years or so. I mean, God protected man for some 2,000 years from weather. And then after the flood, of course, that canopy aided the flood. That canopy fell to the earth, and then the fountains of the deep broke loose, and the earth was flooded. And everyone died except for the 8 people that were on the boat, all right, on the ark. And so... When they got off the ark, then all that devastation was everywhere, and God started over with Noah and his 3 sons and their wives, and we are all here now today with our lifespans cut dramatically. If you can get 70, 80, 90 years, you're doing well, all right? You're doing well. Somebody asked me, said, Pastor, do you want to live? Your dad's 91 years old. Do you want to live to be 91? Not really. I really don't. I can't imagine 91. I can't half see now. I wouldn't be able to see a thing. I can't half hear now. I find myself going, huh? So much now. My kids look at me like, Dad, are you deaf? And I, yeah, I believe I am. Yeah, I could say I am. Karen says, you need to learn sign language. And yeah, I do. I know I do. But you know, I can't imagine. But you see, that's what happens as a result of that canopy being gone. We're not protected from the harmful rays of the sun. I've got to go and get a skin cancer thing. It popped up right here. I got to go get that cut off now, and that'll be about the 9,000th one that I've had cut off my face. You know, it's the effects of sin upon the earth that all this stuff is like it is, and so. So the earth is going to be parched from the drought. Everything is ready for to be torched, and this trumpet is going to be devastating. So the first trumpet I'm going to call the brewing storm. The brewing storm, for those of you keeping notes. All right, second trumpet. Look, please, at verse 8 and verse 9. And I'm going to call this one the boiling sea. All right, so we had the brewing storm, but now in verse 8 and 9, we have the boiling sea. Look at verse 8. It says, the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. All right, now notice that little phrase, as it were. In other words, it's not a mountain that is going to be cast into the sea that was burning, but it's going to be like a mountain, as it were a mountain. So you say, well, Pastor, what's it going to be? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure that if John lived in the 21st century and saw this vision, he would be better able to label it or identify it for us. You see, because of technology, today we have been able to learn that when you see this streak of white or blue or red just go tearing across the sky, well, that's a little meteorite. That's a little meteorite. We now today know that when you look up into the sky and you see this white dot with a tail behind it, that's a comet. All right, so we've learned so much. We've learned so much in our day. And so poor old John, 2,000 years ago, you know, he didn't have a telescope. He didn't have, you know, the benefits of a 4-year college degree and a 2-year master's program and a 4-year doctorate program. He didn't have that advantage. There was no such thing back then. And so what did he rely on? Well, he just relied on things he knew. And when he saw whatever it was that came out of the sky and fell into the sea, John said, looked to me like a mountain on fire. All right? As it were, a mountain on fire. So we don't know if it's going to be a meteorite. We don't know, but it will happen though. And the reason it's going to happen is because God says it's going to happen. Now you just imagine something like this, a great big meteorite, you know, or an asteroid of some kind. And, you know, we just keep hearing all the time that Elon Musk fella he has sent up a rocket, and they're going to try to push an asteroid that is coming towards us. They think that asteroid is going to be real close. and it may even hit us. You know, I mean, that's the fear. And so Elon Musk said, you know, I've got so much money, I just will throw it down a rat hole. That's no problem. And so he's going to send one of those rocket ships of his, and you're going to hook up with that asteroid that's coming our way, going to link up to it, and then is going to try to push it so that it will miss the Earth. Now, is he going to be successful? I don't know. Could that be what John saw in the vision, in the revelation? I don't know. Is there another one out there? I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. But I don't know how it's going to happen. But I do know that that when something like this happens, then it is absolutely going to be devastating to the planet. If you will look at verse 8, it says that a third part of the sea became as blood. Have you ever seen a red tide? You ever seen that down in the Tampa area, on the Gulf side of Florida, on the western side of Florida? That red tide, it looks like the ocean, like the Gulf is blood. It just looks like it's blood. The first time I saw it, I flew over it. All right, I flew over it. And boy, to look down upon that and see it with your naked eye, wow. I mean, that is an eerie looking sight. And it just looked like that the whole Gulf was a big collection of stagnant blood. But I knew it wasn't. I knew it was the red tide, but I'd read that in the newspaper, and in the Tampa airport, I could sure smell it. I could sure smell it. Boy, it doesn't smell good. All right? And so you just imagine when this devastating event takes place. I mean, it's going to be a mess. And how's it going to go down? I don't know. I really don't know. It's impossible for us to guess. I have a feeling, though, that whatever we think it's going to be, it will even be worse than what we think. That's just my personal opinion on that. It will be even worse than we could imagine. And the economic devastation itself is going to be absolutely horrendous. All right, now let's look at the third trumpet. The third trumpet, and you will... in this one, I'm going to label it the banished star. All right, so we've seen the brewing storm, the boiling sea, and now thirdly, the third trumpet, the banished star. Now, let's take our Bibles, hold your place here, and let's take our Bibles and turn over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and I want you to go to chapter 21, Luke 21. All right, now this is the Lord Jesus talking about the tribulation period. This is the Lord talking about the tribulation period in chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke. All right, look please, if you will, at verse 11. Verse 11. Well, let's go back for just a moment and let's start at, say, verse 9. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. In other words, the end is not yet. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. Well, that's what is being described in the in the chapter 6 in the seal judgments. Nation rising against nation. You've got ruler rising against ruler. And we're kind of seeing that today. All right, so nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes. Notice, plural, great earthquakes shall be in divers places. So divers means different places. And famines and pestilences. What are pestilences? How about COVID? All right. How about Omicron? You know, when I was in school, we had to, you know, first day in New Testament Greek, you got to learn the alphabet, and so you get the Delta, you know, the D, the Delta. And so what they're doing with this virus is they're giving each new strain a name, and it just takes the next letter in the Greek alphabet. All right. So what they skipped was new, N-U. All right. They skipped new, because they didn't want it to sound like it was a new virus. It's the same old virus, all right? It's just a little bit different, and it's weaker. Omicron is weaker, but they didn't want to call it new, because they didn't want it to appear like it was a new virus. Then the next letter is the letter Chi. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Who is the president over in China? President Xi, all right, X-I. All right, so they didn't want to call it that because that's where it came from. All right, and they didn't want to insult their buddies. And so the next letter was the Omicron, and that's why this new variant is called Omicron. It's not, that's the short O in the Greek alphabet. And so pestilences, well, we've seen our share of those, and we're even making them and manufacturing them today. And evidently that's where all of this began in the first place. And then in verse 11, the middle part, it says, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. That's strange, isn't it? You know, they did a show. They did a show. I think it was on. I think it was on CBS on that 60 Minutes thing that they do when we're in church, or it might have been on ABC or one of the others. I don't know, but they did a show about all of the UFO sightings that are so prevalent today. UFO sightings. And the U.S. Air Force, the military, has released footage of these crafts that they can't identify, that they don't understand, they can't communicate with, and they can't catch, all right? It seems that no matter how fast our military tries to go to catch up to them, in a heartbeat, boom, they can just be gone. They can just take off. And so they're seeing this stuff. Every time I get on an airplane now, if that pilot is standing there, first thing I do is I ask him, I said, did you get a good night's rest last night? That's the first thing I say to him, and he'll grin. He'll go, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm good. And then I'll say, does your breath smell like coffee or something else? You know, and he'll laugh again, and I'll say, hey, let me ask you a question. And he'll go, what? And I say, you ever see anything up there you couldn't identify? And I've had two of them tell me, yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. Two of them. Now, the rest of them, and I do this regularly. I do this regularly. I want to know, you know. Inquiring minds want to know. And I ask them regularly. And two of them have said, yeah, I have. I didn't have time to sit there and hear what they saw. The people were trying to get on the plane. I'm sure they didn't want me standing there blocking their entrance. They get real angry about stuff like that. Have you noticed that? Yeah, they're ready to fight for some reason. But anyway, strange signs, strange things in the sky. Weird, huh? And so the Lord said that, you know, fearful sights and great signs there shall be from heaven. Verse 12, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, talking about God's people, the Jews, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now, what's gainsay mean?
For money.
Huh?
Money. To give money.
To give money, yeah. But it also means, yeah. Yeah, in the long run, that's what would, in other words, you can't, they're not going to be able to bribe you. You're going to know what you believe. You're going to have the answer. They're not going to be able to say, hey, if I give you some, would you just be quiet? Would you quit telling that gospel? Would you quit telling people what happened to you? But people are not going to do that. And that's when things are going to turn ugly and they're going to start throwing people in prison and they're going to start lobbing off heads. All right. So your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay. They will not get one up on you. All right. That's what gainsay means. They shall not gain an advantage over you. Your answer is going to silence them. You know, the truth will do that.
Yep.
You know, the truth will do that. And that's what gainsay is all about. And so he said in verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by your parents. You know, you're saved, but your parents are not during the tribulation period. And somebody comes looking for you and your parents will say, he's in the attic. Go get that heretic. Sad, isn't it? That's our world, folks. You shall be betrayed by your kinfolks, by your brethren. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And so all of these events, all these things are going to unfold during the tribulation period. All right, now look, please, at the third of these trumpets. And in the third one, in verse 9, here's what we read. And the third part verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Now, it's not a lamp, but it's burning as though it were a lamp. It's on fire, in other words. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers. The rivers are fresh water. All right, so judgment came upon the salt water, where so much of our survival depends on, and then it falls upon the fresh water, upon the fountains of water. Now look at verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. All right, now let's think about this wormwood for just a moment. What is wormwood? Well, in the Bible, in the scriptures, wormwood is it is a deadly concoction. It is a deadly liquor that is made, and it has as its key ingredient, what is known as absinthe. All right, absinthe. Now, do you know anything about that? Well, that absinthe it's like a poison. All right. In the Old Testament, the word that is used to say wormwood is the word hemlock. All right. Now you've heard of hemlock, right? Not the hemlock tree. We don't have hemlock in America. Hemlock is found in North Africa, along over in the Middle East area, and in Europe. And you might remember hemlock from Shakespeare. All right? Remember that? Any of you ever read Shakespeare? Not much. All right, that's a literal answer. All right, you may remember that they would mix up hemlock and give it to people to drink, and it would poison them. They would die. All right, and so that's what verse 11 is saying, that when this star fell, it poisoned the water. And when you and I get thirsty, we'll drink anything, won't we? I mean, we want something to drink when we're thirsty. And so when you drink the water that has been infected by this wormwood, then what's going to happen is there's going to be an awful lot of death. People are going to be poisoned, and they will die. Man, that's awful, isn't it? And I understand that it is not quiet, peaceable, or peaceful way to go. All right, it's quite ugly. And then you got to hurry. Number four, the fourth trumpet, 12 and 13, and in this one we read about the blackened sky. The blackened sky. All right. So number four is the blackened sky. And the blast from this trumpet is going to bring tremendous changes to this earth. All right. You'll see the word smitten here. And this is the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. Now it's used in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew word is translated smitten, but this is the only time it's used in the New Testament. And what do we find here? Well, this how it's smitten is the light of the sun is going to be reduced by 1/3. But this is only temporary, because under the bowl judgments, the heat of the sun is going to re-intensify. So here, there's going to be some real global cooling. All right? And then a few months later, when the bowls are poured out, then there's going to be some real global warming. All right? Real global warming. But nobody's going to blame man for it. All right? They're going to know that God is doing it. They're going to know that this is the wrath and judgment of God. Now, folks, listen. The world is going to change, and it's going to cause a great change in the climate of the earth. The world's temperature is going to drop. I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven, aren't you? I don't like cold weather. Right, Jocelyn? I don't like cold weather. You don't either, do you? No, we don't want, I want it 80 degrees. The golf ball goes further when it's hot. All right? But anyway, the temperatures are going to change. And then the word of warning in verse 13, that angel was flying through heaven and he gives a word of warning and says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices. So in other words, inhabitants of the earth, if you think this is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's three more to come, and they're going to be worse than anything that has hit so far. Folks, this is definitely going to create a mess on the earth. The wicked hearts of men will meet the wrath of God, and it will be a terrifying sight. It's not going to be pretty. As God's hand swings back and forth in wrath, men will wish they had listened to God's message of grace. But it will be too late. That's why you need to listen now. Now, while that grace is available. All right, so that's chapter 8. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your word, and I pray that you will bless this to our hearts and give us understanding. And Father, we are so thankful that that according to chapter 4, we get taken out of here. We get taken up to heaven to be with you. And as believers, we do not have to face the wrath that you're going to pour out during that 7 years of tribulation. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And how thankful we are that we are with you. So, Father, bless this to our hearts and help us to know and be able to talk about it and share it and let others know what's coming. So bless the word, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.